auspicious day, my birthday. We are also observing Vyasa Puja ceremony. I have to thank all of you for participating. I have to thank the organizers. Maybe I have to curse them, I'm not sure. For all their hard work. Vyasa Puja is a very significant part of our understanding of the path of self-realization or Krishna consciousness. I will start by quoting a purport from Srila Prabhupada in one of his lectures. So try to receive Krishna's grace through the disciplic succession, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then you will understand everything. Yasya deve parabhaktir yatha deve tatha gurau. This is the process, Vedic process. One should have unflinching faith in God and spiritual master. Don't jump over to God, crossing the spiritual master. Then it will be failure. You must go through. We are observing Vyasa Puja ceremony, the birth anniversary of our Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Why? We cannot understand Krishna without spiritual master. That is bogus. If anyone wants to understand Krishna jumping over the spiritual master, then immediately he becomes bogus. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Guru Krishna Kripa Pai Bhakti Lata Bija. That is the Vedic injunction. Tad Vidhi Pranipatena Pariprasnena Sevaya. Nobody can understand Krishna without going through his most confidential servant. This is the meaning of Vyasa Puja. You cannot surpass. If you think that you have become very learned and very advanced, now you can avoid the spiritual master and you understand Krishna, that is the bogus. That is the meaning of this Vyasa Puja ceremony. We should always pray, Yasya Prasadat Bhagavat Prasada. Yasya prasada. Only by the grace of spiritual master we can achieve the grace or mercy of Krishna. This is the meaning of this Vyasa Puja, offering obeisances by parampara system. So we are eternal living beings. Krishna says, Mamai Vamsa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. All living beings are my eternal fragmental parts and parcels. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has explained, Jivar Swarupai Nityar Krishna Das. Our constitutional position is that we are the servants of Krishna. Somehow or other, we have forgotten Krishna, and we have been put here in this material world, but we're not happy here. Because if you take a fish out of water, no matter what you do for the fish will always be unhappy. Until you put him back in the water, he's out of his nature. So similarly, we cannot be happy in this material world. We can only be happy when we are again happily engaged in the service of our original master, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. Krishna is very kind. Krishna wants to see us awaken our dormant love of God. But love is not something that can be forced. We have to voluntarily give ourselves to Krishna. And in this material world, we are bewildered by so many false things, so many false objects of love. And we're jumping from one thing to another. Sometimes we are an ant, sometimes we are a dog, sometimes we're a human being, sometimes we're a demigod. But we're really looking for Krishna's lotus feet. We're really looking for the happiness which comes from surrendering to Krishna and from engaging our senses in the service. We may be experimenting in so many ways, taking intoxication, eating so many things with no regulation, filthy things. We may be engaged in illicit sex life with so many different partners. We may be doing so many things, but the real taste that we want, that will satisfy us and make us truly happy, comes only when we are united with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who knows our heart. He is Suridham. He is the best friend. Sarva-bhutana. Someone who knows that Krishna is our best friend, Yathaham Shantim Ruchate, he alone attains happiness and peace. And in any condition, he's peaceful and happy, even in this material world. Someone who knows that Krishna is Bhokta, that Krishna is Sarvaloka Maheshwara, that Krishna is Suridam Sarvabhutanam, his best friend. Such a person can be happy even in the material world. How to reestablish ourselves when we're already entangled so deeply in the material world? We require help. So Krishna knows that, and he comes himself, yada yada hi dharmasya glamyam bhavati bharata bhutanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyam sambhavami yuge yuge. In every millennium, by his own sweet will, he descends to this world and he manifests his divine pastimes. He sends his representatives. We are familiar with Jesus Christ or
Muhammad.
But there are so many representatives of Krishna who are being sent throughout time. Time is a very long time. We're, with our concept of one life and our understanding of history, we see things in a very narrow perspective. But by opening our minds a little, by hearing Vedic knowledge, we get a much bigger picture. And we can understand that Krishna is sending his representatives again and again to try to assist the conditioned souls so that they may reform their lives and again enter the kingdom of God, where everything is very blissful and where everyone is experiencing happiness. So in this age, the most important representative of Krishna is Krishna Dvaipayan Vyasadeva, because he has compiled Vedic knowledge into a very precise form. Vedic knowledge has been spoken by sages and saintly persons since time immemorial. And according to time, place, and circumstances, great sages and saintly persons speak, and people hear and understand according to their capacity or their surrender. But in this age, people have no ability to understand something simply by hearing it. Their memory, we were hearing this morning, Srila Prabhupada was quoting, Prayanal Payasa, Yuga, Asmin, Kali Yuga, Prayanal Payasa, what is that? Kalo, Manda Sumanda Matayo Manda Bhagya. In this age, everyone is, just see my memory, I lost my short memory. We have very short memory in this age. So Krishna has compiled everything in his incarnation as Vyasadeva. He has compiled the Vedic literatures. And by reading the Vedic literatures, we can get access to Krishna's very, very diverse personality. Understanding Krishna is very difficult. He is a dhoksaja. He's beyond the limit of our mind and senses. But he becomes available to us through the scriptures as much as we can understand. And people have different abilities to understand, but as much as any individual can understand, that knowledge is there in the Vedic scriptures. The process, how to attain that knowledge, the actual knowledge itself, everything is there. So Vedavyasa is our guru. Srila Prabhupada has written very nicely in his address to the members of the Gaudiya Math on the appearance of his spiritual master in 1936 in Bombay, that we're not celebrating an ordinary day. It is not a sectarian day. It is not the Vyasa Puja or the, it is not the puja of my guru as opposed to the puja of your guru. But we are understanding in this worship ceremony that Vyasadeva is the guru of all of us. Because he gives the essence, Divya Jnana. He is giving us access by which we can open our eyes, by which we can elevate ourselves, by which we can control our mind and senses. This knowledge is like a very sharp knife. Not only knife, it is like a lancet, like a double-edged knife. It cuts both ways. It's a very, very sensitive and sharp knife. You have to be careful. But it is, this knowledge will cut away all of the dirty things in our hearts and minds. But we have to receive that knowledge as Vyasadeva presented it. And therefore we have disciplic succession, Guru Parampara. And that disciplic succession is coming down to the present day in four main sampradayas. Nimbarka Sampradaya, Vishnu Swami Sampradaya, Brahma Sampradaya, and Sri Sampradaya. So, we are coming in the Madhva, Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, down to Srila Prabhupada. And after Srila Prabhupada, his representatives. So we are worshipping, on this day, we are worshipping Vyasadeva. Just like our ultimate goal, as I have said many times before, is Krishna. We want to become a lover of Krishna. We are part and parcel of Krishna. We're not part and parcel of the spiritual master. We're part and parcel of Krishna. But Krishna has advised us that you serve my devotee. Actually, Vaishnava Seva of any Vaishnava is glorious. So there are different kinds of Vaishnava Seva. But this is another kind, Seva of our Diksha Guru. And we see him as a representative. Actually, the spiritual master, we are worshiping the spiritual master on this day. We are offering our homage to the spiritual master. The spiritual master is a post that has been assumed by a personality. He has taken the service to do the work of the spiritual master. But ultimately, we are interested in pleasing the disciplic succession all the way back to Krishna. So by this offering of flowers and incense and paraphernalia, we are showing our intention. Of course, in many ways, this is superficial or external. Worship of Krishna, worship of Vyasadeva, worship of the disciplic succession, worship of the spiritual master is not just a ceremony of flowers and incense, but it is much more than that. This is simply a declaration of our intentions. And it is important. In the scheme of things, we are very much affected by external symbols. So, this is one of the processes, or part of the process, of Krishna consciousness. So, we must do it with our full enthusiasm, but we should always remember that the spiritual master is pleased when we actually perform yajna, when we sacrifice tan, man, dan, our body, mind, words, everything in the service of the Lord. When we follow the vani, or the instructions of the spiritual master. The instructions of the spiritual master are basically very simple on one level. Chant Hare Krishna, follow the four regulative principles, engage in devotional service, take Krishna prasadam, etc. All of the representatives who are acting in the post of the spiritual master will give the same instructions. There's no need to go from one to another because you will get the same instructions. The minute details may differ from one to another, so we, based on our attraction, we may choose one from another. But ultimately, the spiritual master is one. Ultimately, the spiritual master is Vyasadeva, or Krishna, coming down to us through those who are surrendering to him. So, I would also like to read a few verses about this from Srila Prabhupada's books, just to show that when we look at our tradition, we come in a very elevated tradition. Our acharyas in the past have always been very learned and very great teachers and preachers. So someone may think that we need to bring back Jiva Goswami before we can continue the disciplic succession. But that is not a fact. The acceptance, rejection of things should always be in pursuance of devotional principles. Not that one can independently manufacture some idea of what should be accepted or rejected. The spiritual master, as the visible manifestation of Krishna, is necessary. The spiritual master as the visible. Visible means what you can see with your eyes, to direct the devotee on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from the nectar of devotion. Krishna is the first spiritual master. And when we become more interested, then we have to go to a physical spiritual master. That is enjoined in the next verse, Tadvidhi Pranipatena, from a lecture Prabhupada gave in 1966. Then we have to go to a physical spiritual master. Indian lady, how does one contact the spiritual master? Through a book? Can you contact the spiritual master? Srila Prabhupada, no. You have to associate. Shyam Sundar, can you associate through a book, she asked. Srila Prabhupada, yes, through books and also personal. Because when you make a spiritual master, you have got personal touch. Not that in the air you make a spiritual master. You make a spiritual master concrete. So as soon as you make a spiritual master, you should be inquisitive. Another quote. Srila Prabhupada, therefore God is called Chaitya Guru, the spiritual master within the heart, and the physical spiritual master is God's mercy. If God sees that you are sincere, he will give you a spiritual master who can give you protection. He will help you from within and without. Without in the physical form of spiritual master, and within as the spiritual master within the heart. So, also from Srila Prabhupada's 1936 offering, It's a very nice explanation. The transcendental knowledge of the Vedas was first uttered by God to Brahma, the creator of this particular universe. From Brahma, the knowledge descended to Narada, from Narada to Vyasadeva, and from Vyasadeva to Madhva. And in this process of disciplic succession, the transcendental knowledge was transmitted by one disciple to another till it reached Lord Gauranga, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, who posed as the disciple and successor of Sri Ishwarapuri. The present Acharya Dev, meaning Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, is the 10th disciplic representative from Sri Rupa Goswami, the original representative of Lord Chaitanya, who preached this transcendental tradition in its fullness. The knowledge that we receive from our Gurudev is not different from that imparted by God Himself, and the succession of the Acharyas in the preceptorial line of Brahma. We adore this auspicious day of Sri Vyas Puja Tithi because the Acharya is the living representative of Vyasadeva, the divine compiler of the Vedas, Purana, Bhagavad Gita, Mahabharata, and Srimad Bhagavatam. One who interprets the divine sound, or Shabda Brahma, by his imperfect sense perception cannot be a real spiritual guru, because in the absence of proper disciplinary training under the bona fide Acharya, the interpreter is sure to differ from Vyasadeva as the Mayavadis do. So here's Prabhupada stating very clearly that we need someone to give us proper disciplinary training on an ongoing basis. Srila Vyasadeva is the prime authority of Vedic revelation, and therefore such an irrelevant interpreter cannot be accepted as guru or acharya, howsoever equipped he may be with all the acquirements of material knowledge. As it is said in the Padma Puran, Sampradaya Vihina Ye Mantraste Nishpalamata. Unless you are initiated by a bona fide spiritual master in the disciplic succession, the mantra that you might have received is without any effect. On the other hand, one who has received the transcendental knowledge by oral reception from the bona fide preceptor in the disciplic succession and who has sincere regard for the real Acharya must needs be enlightened with the revealed knowledge of the Vedas. But this knowledge is permanently sealed to the cognitive approach of the empiricists, as it is said in the Svetasvatara Upanishad, Yasya deve parabhaktir yutha deve tathagvarau tasyaite katita yarta prakashante mahatmanaha. Only unto those great souls who simultaneously have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the purports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. And in another place, Srila Prabhupada states, gentlemen, had he not appeared before us to deliver us from the thraldom of this gross worldly delusion, surely we would have remained for lives and ages in the darkness of helpless captivity. Had he not appeared before us, we would not have been able to understand the eternal truth of the sublime teaching of Lord Chaitanya. Had he not appeared before us, we could not have been able to know the significance of the first shloka of Brahma Sanhita, Ishwara Parama Krishna. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the Supreme Godhead. He has an eternal, blissful, spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, and he is the prime cause of all causes. Personally, I have no hope for any direct service for the coming course of births of the sojourn of my life. But I am confident that someday or other I shall be delivered from this mire of delusion in which I am at present so deeply sunk. Therefore, let me with all my earnestness pray at the lotus feet of my divine master to allow me to suffer the lot for which I am destined due to my past misdoings, but to let me have this power of recollection, that I am nothing but a tiny servant of the Almighty Absolute Godhead, realized through the unflinching mercy of my Divine Master. Let me therefore bow down at his lotus feet with all humility at my command. So, as I said earlier, there are four things that are inconceivable. Shiva Tattva, Vishnu Tattva, Jiva Tattva, and Guru Tattva. So we are a new movement. We are trying to understand these things. Without acting as spiritual masters in the disciplic succession, how will we increase the number of devotees, the number of disciples? And that is very important, that the teaching must go out from spiritual master to disciple. So, it is very embarrassing. As I said, I don't know whether I should thank the organizers or curse them for organizing this function, because on one side it is a very, that you're just another devotee struggling to become Krishna conscious. But this is the process that we have been given, and we have to follow the system. We cannot change the system. We have to make adjustments, whatever adjustments are needed, so that we are not excessive. This word excessive, we should not be excessive. But we have to engage in the system and the process, and whatever elements of that process which help us to bring out our devotional sentiments, we have to voluntarily, willfully accept them in Krishna consciousness. They're favorable for the execution of devotional service. So on the one hand, I apologize for this display of pompousness. But on the other hand, I'm not apologetic. This is what my Guru Maharaj gave me, and I'm convinced this is the right way, and therefore I'm doing my humble best to follow in his footsteps. And I encourage you also to follow in the footsteps of the great devotees. Don't get bewildered. Always be humble. And if your arrogant nature comes out, trample on it. Smash it. Cut it out. And somehow become humble and follow the process of Krishna consciousness, either as a worshiper or being worshipped. It's the same. There's no difference. Someone is sitting on this chair and accepting, and someone is offering, but it is the same. Both are begging for the mercy of Krishna. I was going to say, Nikola Ananda came in earlier, I felt just like exchanging places with him, because it is all the same. But by my misfortune, I'm forced to sit here. I don't particularly like it at all. But it is my duty, and I will always do my duty to my eternal Father. He gave me, he's the only person in the world for me. He gave me what my other family and nobody gave me. Gave me the path of Krishna consciousness. So I'm indebted to him. And I'm also considering that you, my disciples, are sent by him to help me help him. He sent you to help me help him. So you're actually his disciples, but through me. You're my disciples, but we're serving Prabhupada. So, I hope we don't get too outrageous here now. And, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Vyasadeva ki jai. Dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my humble obeisances. The GBC meetings held in Mayapur 1998 will most probably be remembered as the assessment year. The GBC men were individually assessed for their performance of their duties. As you are, by your own words, the Supreme Governing Body Commissioner, I thought this would be a good year to assess your performance. It's my humble assessment that you are the greatest spiritual master and acharya, and therefore the greatest man or jiva soul of this century and beyond. What are the criteria for my assessment? Lord Krishna expected a lot from his pure devotees. Actually, what I'm repeating here is all the wordings for the assessment of the GBC. In the GBC assessments, it said, Srila Prabhupada expected a lot from his GBC members, and then it went on like that. So, Lord Krishna expected a lot from his pure devotees. On studying his teachings, we find that there are four main functions that he wanted his pure devotees to carry out. He wanted them to be siksha gurus for all the members of the universe. So in the GBC version of this, he said something similar, and he said he wanted them to be siksha gurus for the Krishna consciousness movement. So, Lord Krishna wanted his pure devotees like Srila Prabhupada to be siksha gurus for all the members of the universe. He wanted them to provide leadership to push on the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya to every town and village. And he wanted them to manage the movement in a responsible way. He also wanted them to act as watchdogs, seeing that the proper standards of Krishna consciousness are maintained by all their disciples and in all the temples that they open, and that the assets are protected and that philosophical deviation is not allowed to creep in. Srila Prabhupada, you are the primary siksha guru for millions and millions of devotees, both now and in the future, for at least the next 10,000 years. How did you establish these relationships? First of all, right from your birth in a pious and well-to-do Bengali family, you were a perfect example of achar, or practice, and prachar, preaching. Throughout your life, whatever you taught, you also practiced perfectly. Therefore, everyone was and is ready to accept your authority. In the Shastra, it is said that some people are good at achar. In other words, they act very nicely, they follow all the rules and regulations, but they're not empowered preachers. And some people are very good at prachar, preaching, but if you see their activities, they don't follow what they preach. Therefore, they have no potency. But Srila Prabhupada is both achar and prachar. Yad yad acharati shrestas, from the Bhagavad Gita. Secondly, you devised and executed many strategies to disseminate Lord Krishna's message. You were constantly giving enlivening morning and evening scripture classes in your temples. You regularly lectured in public programs and in the houses of life members and sincere well-wishers. You also expertly gave training to your disciples by personally training some and sending them out to train others. Your most significant contribution giving Siksha was by your translation and publication of Vedic scriptures into the English language. This was a brilliant stratagem that will destroy the forces of Maya. People receive your books, become enlightened by reading them, and keep them and share them with others for years together. Your books are the most authoritative body of literatures presenting state-of-the-art spiritual technology in very user-friendly, readable format. Those who read them regularly are inspired to directly or indirectly distribute them. This kind of writing that convinces people to the point of their taking some action is very special. I know because I have done a lot of writing to write letters to people to convince them to donate to some particular cause, and it's very, very difficult to have someone just read a letter and then sit down and write out a check, because, you know, people are miserly generally. But here Prabhupada is writing in such a way that people read his writing and they're prepared to change their whole lives. That's powerful writing. So there were so many editions of Bhagavad Gita before Srila Prabhupada, but nobody was convinced to change their lives and become actual devotees of Krishna. So there's something different about Prabhupada's writing. The second category of my assessment is leadership. I once took a professional course which has been taken by tens of thousands of executives and managers of the top corporations in the world. I gave my teacher a copy of your biography, Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, and asked for an opinion. The professional teacher of leadership was so impressed that she underlined all the wonderful examples and sent the book back to me. She said, "A leader is a person who always keeps everyone focused on the ultimate destination. A leader shows the way by going in advance. Srila Prabhupada, you taught us everything. How to work, how to eat, how to sleep, how to worship, how to manage, and how to lead. We were completely inexperienced, so you became our father, our friend, our master, our teacher, and our guru. You kept us steady on the path of Krishna consciousness. You criticized us. You lovingly screamed at us. You corrected us, and you took great pain to keep us on the straight and narrow path of Krishna consciousness. Vyavasayatmika buddhi ekeha kuru nandana. You are the greatest spiritual leader. Thirdly, you manage ISKCON better than any global entrepreneur. In any business, the three most crucial assets or resources are physical, financial, and human. In the beginning, you did everything just to teach the standards. You were the most frugal with physical assets, even up to the point of writing replies to letters on the torn apart envelope just to save the cost of a sheet of paper. In other words, people would write to Prabhupada, he would open the envelope, he would read the letter, and then he would take that envelope and write a reply and send it back. You established the first official ISKCON society with Brahmananda as the president, Rishi Kumar as the secretary, and yourself as the treasurer. The next day when Rishi Kumar came to you, the treasurer, to get some money, you replied, "You should not ask your spiritual master for money." In other words, Prabhupada was very frugal when he needed to be. You encouraged spiritual businesses such as Spiritual Sky Incense to increase funds. You had no qualms about a sannyasi doing the needful to generate financial assets to push on the preaching. Then you introduced the best business, sales of your books. But it was your masterful management of your disciples' lives as the human assets of your mission that inspires me the most. As I look back over those years of rapid growth and the innumerable personal problems of your young students, I see how you simultaneously pushed us forward in the service of your mission and yet extended so much love and compassion that we hardly noticed our austerities. Lastly, I don't see you as an ordinary watchdog who watches over something separate from himself. I see that you are your mission, ISKCON. ISKCON is your body. ISKCON is the most successful manifestation of the practical achievement of Nagaradi Gram in every town and village of the world. You are supremely conscious of and sensitive to any deviation which might harm the development of Lord Chaitanya's movement in ISKCON. Srila Prabhupada, your arguments are the most convincing because you embody both bhakti and Vedanta. Over and over again, you clarified in plain and simple language issues which others might shy from, not wanting to risk any chagrin from critics. You were a bold preacher. You engaged in controversy when it was appropriate. Jiva Goswami and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati are also famous controversialists in our line. I must admit that I was fearful when I first dared to assess you, but it has been extremely easy because there is no one else even in your universe. There's no scale to compare you with anyone else. As far as I can see, you are the perfect master to lead all of us. And I sincerely mean all of us out of darkness. I can only pray at your divine lotus feet for your special mercy on this most auspicious occasion of your Vyasa Puja, your lowly servant, Sridhar Swami. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.